Ladies and gentlemen, how is everybody doing? This is DJ T-Baby on the mic, and you are listening to another episode of What Are You Talking About? Only available via radio.dominican.edu. And as you might have guessed, you don't hear P.I.B. right now. It's just me in the studio. I'm kind of lonely in here. DJ Juice, DJ Beard just hanging out. And DJ Biggie Bencomo and DJ AA will be on in about 20 minutes. And P.I.B. is still a maybe, but unfortunately for now, you are just stuck with me. It's terrible, but that's what we're going to have to do. So since it's just me, I think I'm going to take a page out of Jim Rome's book for about 15 minutes, and I'm just going to burn some people because that's the kind of mood I'm in. And right now I'm mad at Penn State. I'm mad at the NBA. And that's about it, but that covers quite a bit because if you haven't heard, the NBA is in a serious lockout where the season is legitimately in jeopardy. Because when this kind of thing happens, most people say, oh, there's not going to be a lockout. They'll get it together. Actually, there's a good chance that there will be a season-ending lockout. They recently canceled games up until December 15th, and it's reached quite a stalemate where it's actually going to the courts now. There's not even negotiation. I mean, Billy Hunter, David Stern still can negotiate, but it's in the court's hands, and that could take years. So it's kind of a grim day for NBA fans, and it's just terrible. And the union representing National Basketball Association, the NBA, players formally disbanded Monday and declared it had ended negotiations with the owners, a development that pushed the league as close as it ever has been to losing an entire season of play. Like I said, the whole season in jeopardy. The players, who are no longer unionized, said they would file an antitrust lawsuit in federal court in the next 2 days and would seek a summary judgment declaring the league's five-month lockout to be illegal. With a potential court battle on the horizon, a season that has already had 6 weeks of games canceled. That's right, 6 whole weeks already. All those fantasy basketball players, very upset, have already been canceled. And this is what David Stern was quoted as saying, the commissioner of the NBA, we're about to go into the nuclear winter of the NBA. So a very grim and dark picture being painted by David Stern. And the players' decision came 4 days after David Stern gave them an ultimatum, which was essentially take this offer, which is 50-50. And if you don't take this offer, I believe it was going to go down to about 53-47 in favor of the owners. And the thing that a lot of people aren't talking about is the ripple effect that this lockout would have. Yeah, the players don't get to play. They don't get their fat checks. The owners don't get to kind of take control of their teams. But the effect it has is, one, on the people working the games, because it's already a job that's not offered regularly. You play 82 games, 41 of them are home, so that's essentially 41 nights when you're working. Those are out the window. And I've been doing some research on cities. Cleveland, an example of a city, 35% of the downtown restaurants in Cleveland, their annual 35% of their annual revenue comes from NBA games. This is before games, people going to the bars, people grabbing a bite to eat after the games. That's 35%. So pretty darn close to half, a little above a third for you math majors out there, of the revenue in Cleveland is related to NBA games. And I'm reading Miami, the city of Miami, could lose up to $200 million from the NBA lockout. So there's a funny quote. They're saying Ben Mahler, a good sports writer, said LeBron James might disappear in the fourth quarter of playoffs games, but should the NBA regular season vanish, a big chunk of the South Florida economy may also go up in smoke. And like I said, an estimated $200 million may go because it's just flight tickets, restaurants around the city, business enterprises, establishments. The Portland Trailblazers are saying the Blazers, no Blazers games, is a $59 million hit to their economy. If Oklahoma City doesn't have Kevin Durant playing, they lose $60 million. If the Spurs don't have Tony Parker or Ginobili playing, they lose $90 million. So I hear these players kind of complaining about the offer, which I 50-50, take it, maybe. I mean, David Stern said if you don't take 50-50, it's going to go down to 53-47. I say take the 50-50 offer. But people are just talking about the players and owners, not talking about the ripple effect that this will have. It affects the cities, it affects the restaurant owners, it affects the vendors, it affects a lot of people. So when I watch Derek Fisher give his spiel about why they didn't accept the offer, and then at the end he said something along the lines of, I want the reporters, the columnists to respect our confidentiality because a lot of players are going to decline to comment. I get what he's saying. I mean, he's one of the big player reps. He kind of has to say these things. But at the same time, to be honest, Mr. Fisher, you're probably not listening, but my respect for you kind of goes out of the window because I don't really – you get everyone's fat enough in the NBA in terms of their finances to live. I mean, you could say the rookies that haven't signed their contracts yet haven't been paid, but everybody – nearly everybody in the NBA is doing well, and the owners as well. So I don't like getting into the business and the finance part of professional sports because it doesn't really interest me, but it kind of has been forced upon me with this lockout. And when I see a 50-50 deal – on the table, I feel like take it, especially when the season is in jeopardy. And also the problem here is in the NFL lockout, these kind of actions were taken months before the season started. The timing on the NBA, and we got 9 heads in the studio right now. P.F. just walked in, Biggie Bencomo, Double A, Hunter, DJ Juice, all in the studio right now. But in the NBA, they're doing this with the worst timing you'll ever see in a lockout, right before the season starts. And like I said earlier, the season has already been canceled through December 15th, and business analysts on ESPN, NBA analysts, are saying the season is not likely to happen. And it's just a grim picture for the fans. And some people don't really look at the big picture. They just look at the players. They look at the owners. They don't look at the ripple effect that this has. So I'm kind of burning on the NBA right now. I'm looking forward to the NBA getting a season going, if not this year, next year. But when it goes to the courts, it could take years. So you really have no idea when the season's going to come back. And that's what I'm burning on right now. I'm going to switch a little bit. I want to talk a little Niner football, because the Niners just had a huge win over the Giants, putting the record 8-1, second best record in the NFC, only the second best record because the Packers, who don't really count as a team right now because they're so incredibly gifted, are 9-0. But Niners beating the Giants, a legitimate foe, because some people are saying the Niners aren't for real. They're saying they beat some cupcake opponents. When you beat a team led by Eli Manning and the Giants with a strong defense, and P.I. was about to jump in on here in a second, they're legitimate. The Niners are 8-1. I was a naysayer for a long time. Now I'm going to go ahead and say Niners maybe a Super Bowl contender. P.I., you got thoughts on this?
I don't know, T. It seems like the Niners will not make the playoffs this year.
Really?
Yes.
I believe the division is nearly locked.
No, I don't think I think Arizona's got a chance.
It's one of the worst divisions in the history of professional sports, not just football.
I think the best division in all of professional sports.
That's questionable. To give it perspective, last year, a 7-9 Seahawks won the division. Now Niners are 8-1. They already have surpassed the Seahawks of last year. And you're a Niner fan, so I'm
die hard.
Not understanding
bleed red and gold.
The loss. Literally, you bleed gold. It's a medical condition. I'm not understanding the loss of faith here for the Niners.
I'm just kidding. I'm a diehard Niner fan. I hope they make it.
Yeah, we know you're kidding.
But I mean, on all honesty, they beat a legitimate team.
Giants.
They were 6-2.
6-2.
They had a great defense. Shut down Frank Gore. Re-injured his knee.
Yeah. Yeah, and we want to talk about Gore while you bring it up. Gore, was it 6 carries for no yards?
No yards.
If you would have told me before the game started, or after the game, whatever, that Gore would have 6 carries for no yards and the Niners would win, I'd say you're crazy.
But Kendall Hunter with one of the biggest runs of the game. Jacobs didn't have that good. He had an okay game, decent, but it seemed to me Kendall Hunter had more of an impact in the Niner offense than Brandon Jacobs had on the Giants offense.
Yeah, I think Gore maybe loosened up the defense a little, and they view him as a threat. When Hunter comes in, it's kind of like, who's this guy? You know what I mean? He has more of a chance to run over him. But also, Alex Smith, how about the game plan? How about Niners coming out throwing?
You know what? I liked it. And Alex Smith was accurate, man. Alex Smith showed that he could compete with good teams. If you're gonna say, okay, how about Skelton for the Arizona Cardinals?
Yeah, who's
He threw for 300 yards.
Not a bad player.
No, 315. He's a backup quarterback for Arizona. Mm-hmm. But if you're gonna say that he could outplay Alex Smith, I wouldn't say that, because Alex Smith, he could put up, I'm going to be legitimate here, he could put up 300-yard numbers, but he won't.
He won't.
Because he's going to manage the 49ers offense, which he's doing right
and
now.
And I hate the term game manager, because it's kind of derogatory, but for Alex Smith, it applies. And it is kind of derogatory, because he's a game manager. But I'm going to give him credit here, as he deserved, because this was, me and DJB were just discussing this. This was one of the first games you could argue Alex Smith won it, or he at least greatly contributed to them winning it. He did, P.
I don't know, T. It seemed like the defense were big.
Oh, the defense was huge.
2 interceptions by Rodgers.
Yeah, I know the stats. Willis sack, Bowman big game, Smith pass deflection. Big game from the defense. As always, they're reliable.
Deshaun Goldson almost intercepted, too.
Almost intercepted. But Smith, I mean, and the one pick was a Christmas present that Ginn dropped off his helmet. That pick doesn't even really count. Alex Smith, actually, that's what I'm saying is he led the team. He played like a quarterback.
He did.
I think he won the game for the Niners.
And you know, his stats weren't that bad.
Not bad.
Look, 2 TDs for 242 yards.
Was it 2? I thought it was 1 TD.
2.
Vernon Davis?
1 interception.
I think it was 1. Who else was the other TD to? It was Vernon.
Tekken.
It was 1 TD. Crabtree had a 2-point conversion.
Yeah.
And he spread the wealth. You saw Crabtree, you saw Edward, you saw David, you saw everybody getting involved in the game, playing Walker.
And you see Smith, there's no drama on the team because they're winning.
And when you're winning, Charlie Sheen reference, everybody's happy.
Yeah, I'm happy.
Harbaugh, you see Harbaugh on postgame, whenever he's smiling.
Yeah.
He's laughing.
What I love about Harbaugh is the energy he brings to this
great
team.
Energy. Jeez. My question is, though, I mean, it's obviously I don't want to be, you know, I want to be negative because they're 8-1. But if they were a bad team, Harbaugh, everyone would hate him. Everyone would hate his energy. They would despise him. But since they're winning, his energy is infectious. And 8-1, the Niners.
Yeah.
Could you believe it? I mean, you're a diehard fan.
I'm a diehard fan.
But if I said before the season, 8-1, what would you say?
I would say you're ridiculous.
Yeah, I'd even say stupid.
8-1.
Just irrational.
First of all, how many teams get off to an 8-1 start? Barely any.
Rare.
And you're beating – you outplay the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. How
smash them.
How would you – you wouldn't even say the Niners would outplay the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah.
You'd say the Buccaneers would outplay the Niners.
And not only did they outplay them, they dismantle them in every facet of the game.
And how would you say they came back from a 20-point deficit against Philadelphia in Philadelphia?
In Philly.
And you're beating the Lions in Detroit.
How about this? To change it up for a second. How about the signing of David Akers? How big has he been?
Honestly, it's probably one of the biggest signs, but also a very underrated sign by the Niners. How about letting go of David Boss and signing a Pro Bowl center in Jonathan Goodwin? I love that sign.
And Niners line holding up this year.
Yeah, and another bold move that Harbaugh did that Singletary wouldn't do is changing Adam Snyder for Shiloh Rochelle.
Yeah, he's been switching it up.
Yeah.
And Singletary just wasn't innovative. He didn't change anything. That's part of the reason the Niners just reached a stalemate. They didn't improve. But with Harbaugh, he's innovative.
And what I was reading some articles, some on SI, some on SF Chronicle. They said that why Singletary didn't succeed as a head coach was because he was scared he was going to get replaced by his other coordinators.
Which is,
I could see
there's a level of reluctance always.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when you have the job, you got to go for it, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of a bad excuse because I think he got in over his head. Where is he, a linebacker coach? I think he's from Minnesota.
Linebacker coach from Minnesota.
That's probably great for him. But to be a head coach, to lead a team,
tough.
He's not cut out for it. But Harbaugh at this point is.
Honestly, Harbaugh, when I first signed Harbaugh, I was like, dude, you got to do it.
Yeah.
Because when first Miami got involved, I was scared.
Yeah.
I knew Harbaugh was a good coach ever since his days in San Diego.
And again, I don't want to be negative, but loyalty changes quickly.
It does.
Classic example, Shanahan in Denver won him Super Bowl. And he was out. I mean,
Tampa Bay.
Yeah, say the Niners make the playoffs. They get knocked out second round. Great season. If they go 5-11 next year, people will be on Harbaugh's butt. He won't be on the hot. But that just the loyalty changes very quickly. So my advice to Jim Harbaugh, he's probably listening. Good friend of yours, I know.
Yeah, no, good friend of me. Good friend of Double A.
Good friend of Double A and Biggie B. What I'm trying to say is Harbaugh, enjoy it while it's here because you never know what's going to happen next season.
Hey, the same thing happened when Singletary, when he took over from Nolan. Everyone was on Singletary's butt.
And the thing about that was, I could have coached as long as it wasn't Nolan.
Yeah.
Because Nolan needed to get the heck out of there.
No, Nolan was bad. Even Dennis Erickson. I watched since Seifert, buddy. I know who the coaches were.
Yeah, Erickson, bad coach.
Erickson, terrible. And he had T.O. and Garcia. He could have went to the Pro Bowl. They both could have went to the Pro Bowl. But bad coach.
And we're going to look ahead for a week. Niners taking on Arizona next week.
At San Francisco.
In the city. We talked with DJB about this a couple weeks ago. I don't remember what we picked. I don't even care. Doesn't matter. But we both, I think, agreed it was a trap game.
Yeah.
You see, the Ravens this week. Last week beat the Steelers. Yeah. Great team. Lose to the Seahawks. Something similar to fall to the Niners? Beat the Giants? Lose to the Cardinals? I don't know. Talk like this? No.
I don't know. Niners D, I mean, really
just make
solid.
A statement, P.
But look, I'm telling you, if Kevin Cobb plays, Niners will win. If Skelton plays, Niners will lose. Skelton won both games.
Skelly, so you're saying if Call plays, the Niners will
win. Niners will win. I'm not
lying. I agree. Right now, Skelly's a better fit than Cobb.
Very
and
big.
Here's why. Deep threat. Me and DJ be talking about it again. Deep threat. It fits into Fitzgerald. Cobb can't find Fitzgerald. What's he doing?
Cobb's scared. Cobb's got a broken toe. He's going to be scared.
But Niners are going to win. I'm going to say this. Knock on wood, because I picked them to beat the Lions. I picked them to lose to the Lions, lose to the Bucks, lose to the Giants. So I've been wrong almost every game with the Niners.
Too.
The only one I gave them was the Browns, because the Browns are terrible. I gave them the Browns.
Redskins.
And I think I might have picked – no, I picked the Niners. I think you picked the Skins. You picked the Skins, which wasn't a bad pick.
And I picked beating New York Giants.
And the thing is, it's like – I'll say this. When the Giants beat the Phillies, NLCS, the year they won the World Series, bad pick. Philly should have won.
Yeah.
It's same thing with Niners here. Niners should have lost to the Giants. Giants are better. I'm serious. Maybe not better,
not
but
better.
They should have won.
Offense a lot better.
Offense a lot better. Defense may
be
worse.
Eli Manning, I'm going to say this. A lot of people are on Eli Manning's head right now. He's an elite quarterback.
The thing about Eli
he's an elite quarterback,
he has, No, he's not elite. He's at the threshold. He's right below elite, but he's like he's on the top of very good. He's like maybe like the eighth best quarterback in the league.
I say elite.
Elite team. Is like top five. Eli is not elite. This is why Eli is not elite. One top thing, 10. He's not okay. The only time I ever rooted for Eli was in the Super Bowl when he broke like 18 tackles and threw that amazing pass to Tyree, which he caught on his head. But Eli Manning, worst body language in the NFL. Yeah. You see him after he throws a piece, all mopey. Yeah. Come on, I want to slap him in the face.
You know what's funny? I was watching
backhand.
America's Game on NFL Network. If you look at Michael Strahan, how he described Eli Manning, he said it's really hard to read Eli before a game because he has the same look on his face, like this.
Yeah. did you read
every game?
Did you read those comic Archie comics? That's what Eli looks like. He's just he's a cartoon.
Yeah.
And I've never liked Eli since he was drafted when he didn't want to go to the Chargers. He's a prima donna. I'm a much bigger Peyton and even Steven fan, who's the brother who never made it to the NFL because he had a serious injury. Not an Eli fan, but he's a very good quarterback, but not elite, PM. Not elite.
I say elite. And you know what I hate? What I hate about people is when they think they know everything.
Like you?
No, not me. But I'm saying you, Hunter? I don't know. But when they think they
like
know...
Like Biggie Bencomo.
Yeah, like Biggie Bencomo. When they think they know everything.
Yeah.
And then they say Eli Manning is not an elite quarterback. I don't know.
So I feel like that's directed at me completely.
It is directed at you, Eli, buddy.
When you look at the stats, what's his career rating? Low 80s?
He's a great quarterback and will be great.
You didn't respond. You didn't respond to what I just said. Look at his career rating. It's in the low 80s. He's a Super Bowl champ. He's a very good... Elite is Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers... Peyton Manning.
I'll even put Rivers.
Alex Smith. No, I'm just kidding. Alex Smith, not elite at all.
I'll put Rivers.
Rivers, bad year, but elite.
Yeah, no, bad year, though, but he's great. He's great.
Rivers is elite.
Rivers is elite. He's been putting up 300 yards.
He's just having a terrible season. There's a reason he's one of the postseason.
He's great. Postseason,
he doesn't do anything
not
in the postseason, but he's a great
post-season
quarterback.
Not good.
And just to remind you, in 40 minutes, the tailgate will be on. They can probably talk about Rivers when he's on.
No, but Rivers is great. We're not even supposed to be talking about Rivers. We're talking about Eli Manning and the 49ers victory. Why are we even talking about Rivers? I brought it up.
But Rivers, elite quarterback. Eli Manning, not elite at all. Not elite at all. But he is a Super Bowl champ, so he has the hardware, which a lot of people don't have.
No more talk about this football stuff. Let's just say 49ers will make it to the playoffs. They'll stay first place in the division, and they'll beat Arizona at San Francisco. Let's say that.
They are going to beat them. And I think on that, we're going to take a quick commercial break. After the break, Biggie Bencomo, AA, will be on. You're listening to What Are You Talking About? On radio.dominican.edu. DJ T-Bat. I can't even say my own name. That's a great sign. T-Baby and P-Ab. We'll be back in a few minutes.
If you let me, here's what I'll do. I'll take care of you.
It's like whatever I say. Oh, I travel through. Oh, oh,
oh, oh, oh. Now she loved me, shawty, I love her. We used to jump up in the Maybach and roll out. Used to care, she used to share. The love that she used to give me can't be found. I lost my way, she said she'd stay. And lately I've been sleeping with a ghost. My stock is down and out. I used to be worth my weight in gold. That was before the Great Depression kicked in and rocked us. And that was before the hurricane came in and stopped us. I told you to leave, but you lied to me when you said that. Maybe no worries, I promise to get us back. I know sorry's just wouldn't do it. My heart is a moving mountains.
touch me, I don't touch her. We barely even ever say a word. I really wanna give her everything she deserves, but the vibe took away the girl. She thinks that I'm full of it. Arguments always piss, man, I'm tired. Every kiss that I miss, girl, you know I'm crying. You never believe when I say, and I never believe it when you say, I love you. And I shouldn't complain about it. I should take it like a man and walk up out it. Cause we will never be the same. Oh, I've been standing in gas, and you have been the flames. I'm no sorry, just wouldn't do it. Her heart is obliterated. Like moving mountains, but I keep climbing and hoping things will change. Then the sky turns gray and the water from the rain washes progress away. It's like moving mountains. It's like moving mountains. Well, baby, why you just leave me? Just leave me be. Just leave me. Just leave. Why you just leave me? Just leave me. Why you just leave me? Just leave me. Be your.
Ladies and gentlemen, DJ P-Yob is back after a big hiatus I had, T.
Yeah, you were gone for like a good 15 minutes.
Good 15 minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to What Are You Talking About on DU's hit music station, radio.dominican.edu. T-Baby, what's up?
What's up?
What up?
Not much. We're just chilling. We got couple of special guests. DJ Double A, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. That's good to be in the studio.
Yep, great to be back for you. Biggie Bencomo, the one and only. How are you doing, young man?
I'm feeling great, actually.
Feeling great or looking great? Because you look marvelous.
I feel right, T-Baby. I feel right.
That's great, Biggie, whatever your name is. So we...
Snick.
Yeah, and we like to point out, last week I wasn't on the show. This week, P-Yob wasn't on the show for a few minutes. It's good to have the crew back.
The band's back together.
The band is back. Some distracting sounds in the background. We'll have to persevere.
Band of Brothers, we are back in the studio.
We are back.
I should have.
And we're going to get right into it here. Double A and Biggie Bencomo.
Yeah.
Were recently in Vegas. Is this correct?
Yep.
I do it.
How do you respond to the accusations of you in Vegas?
I plead the fifth.
Plead the fifth? Biggie?
I want my lawyer present right now.
Yeah, were these guys in Vegas?
Can we
get a yes or no?
I'm gonna be real right here. I was with them in Vegas, and we experienced some hangover problems.
Ooh, we lost. Yes. Crazy stuff went down.
We lost your Uncle Johnny.
Yeah, we finally found him eventually, but
was he on the roof?
He was not on the roof. That's actually the movie.
Sorry.
He was in the basement.
Okay.
So you guys were in Vegas.
Yes.
Separately or together?
Well, I had my own room because Biggie said he wanted his own room because of all these escorts. I don't know.
You know those hookers.
Yeah, male
escorts. Oh, whoa.
I had to sleep in the
She's
lobby.
She's a nice lady.
Yeah, but you guys always have separate rooms, but you travel together.
Yeah.
You frequently
We actually rented out this Pontiac. 79, I believe.
Mercedes.
Oh, Mercedes, I guess. Okay. I was totally wrong then.
Part of my wolf drug. Pack right here.
All right, well, Biggie, I'm going to cut you off right there. Just be quiet. We're going to get right into the interview here. Right into this elite interview, just like Philip Rivers. Biggie Bencomo, first question directed at you.
Yeah.
Who is the most famous person you saw there?
Well, let me think. Manny Pacquiao and Maria Menounos.
You saw Maria Menounos. Would you like to expand on that? How was that?
Yeah, I was actually at the Pussycat Doll Lounge, you know, and they actually transformed into a pussycat doll.
Were you transformed?
No.
Emotionally. Emotionally transformed.
I enjoyed seeing her being transformed. It was a great experience. One I'll never forget.
Double A.
I wish.
Biggie, calm down. Double A, who'd you see there, buddy?
Okay, so I stayed at the MGM, and you know how the Pacquiao fight was over at the MGM? So yeah. There's a bunch of celebrities going on. Every morning, one specific person caught my eye. Every morning, as soon as I got out of bed, I would walk to my bathroom and I would see the mirror. Boom, right there. I'd see my face right there glowing.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
We got
just
a
kidding.
Wise guy in the studio.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny? Whenever joking. I see Double A in the mirror, I think of like killing
How
myself.
How do you see me in the mirror?
Because you're right next to me every next time to you? I try shaving.
That's, oh, yeah.
I'm shaving,
he sees
right,
you in like the back of a mirror while yeah. he's shaving. He sees your face behind
I'm just
him.
Just standing there with
Bloody
the
Mary, right?
Like that picture we had in photojournalism. I was trying to take a photo of Biggie and Kokomo Joe. And
you guys really need to check it out. You should like it, too.
Wait. All right.
I mean, it makes that photo way better.
But Biggie, did you say you saw Tyson, or did you? What did you say, Pacquiao or Tyson?
I saw both Pacquiao and Mike Tyson.
How was it seeing Iron Mike up close?
It was great. I mean, I didn't get to say anything. There were a bunch of people around him.
That's what they called him in the jail.
It was good, not great.
How's the ink job on his face up close? Is it good? The tat.
Yeah.
You like it?
Yeah, well, question?
I got a question for a little
Biggie. Okay.
Man.
Yeah. What's
Biggie? You're great in music. You're a good producer. You saw Birdman, you went with him to the fight. I want to know, how was it hanging out with Birdman at the fight? You sat in the front row with him.
I got to say, it was great. I mean, it was Mac Main's first fight. I mean, YMCMB, you know?
Mac Main?
Wait, this is a
Mac Main was fighting?
Def
no,
Jam
Mac
competition?
Main was actually there at the fight. Okay. With Birdman, I mean, once again, YMCMB, take care of today. That's all I got to say.
And Double A, you hung out with Mark Wahlberg during the fight. I want
to
know how
actually,
that was.
Actually, yes. I sat next to him for a while, but I didn't have the seat next to him. I didn't pay for that seat. I didn't pay for high-class tickets. Of course not. But yes, I took his wife's spot for a moment. Wow. She was in the bathroom, so I took my... it was my time to just slip in there,
that's
you know?
Very Why intrusive not? Of you. Wow. And Biggie, you were at the fight, correct? Double A, I think, was in the nosebleeds.
Yeah, I was. Actually.
Biggie was ringside. Practically calling the match.
I mean,
practically
I was
a judge.
There, but I mean, I wasn't there like mentally, you know. What? I was kind of occupied.
I'm going to ask you to expand on that.
Preoccupied.
Because the tickets were expensive.
What is this? Read the 99%?
You posted it on Facebook. Your ticket was almost $9,000.
$9,000.
It was actually $1,200.
Whoa, easy there, big baller.
I did a couple shots of Jose Cuervo.
Which you legally can do
now.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, legally I can. Because
you're 45.
Yes.
Okay.
Chase down some
and
nice
we're gonna
coke.
Biggie, I'm gonna cut you off there, buddy. We're gonna keep plowing through this interview. First, I'm gonna direct it at Double A, then I'm gonna hit you, Biggie. Double A, how much did you gamble there? Are you a gambling man?
I'm not a gambler, but I took advantage of the situation. So, let's see, I got black over there, and then red on the roulette table is best way to double your money. You know, you can never stop on a winning streak.
And it's not
eventually.
It's not gambling if you know you're gonna win.
Exactly. It's just. Positive risk taking.
And I'm going to give some perspective to the audience. Double A, great gambler.
Yes.
Craps player, blackjack.
Oh, yes.
Texas, hold them. Don't play with the man because he'll just, it's practically armed robbery.
One game I cannot win beat anyone at is blackjack. I am horrible at that
He's
game.
He's terrible.
But the thing is, Double A, last time you played blackjack against Rain Man, you lost because he was a retard.
Whoa. That's why I'm horrible. That's why I'm horrible at it. And I didn't know the dessert was not on the menu tonight.
Yeah. Double A, great gambler. Biggie. I know you've had some gambling problems in the past. Not the best gambler out there, but solid. Hold your own. How much, Biggie? You there, buddy? How much? Did you gamble
you
in
fell
Vegas?
For a moment.
Did you gamble on the fight? On the crap? Did what? Explain.
Yeah, I bet about $10,000 on the fight, and I lost about $1,400.
$14,000.
That's weird.
At the table.
You bet $10,000. You lost $14,000. So you walked away with $8,600.
I bet $10,000 on the fight.
Who'd you bet for? Where'd the $10,000 go?
Marquez
lost. Lost $10,000 like that?
Yeah, I'm not too happy about it, and I lost $1,400 playing blackjack.
Wow.
But I walked away with $3,000, so I was happy.
Well, you have money to blow, Biggie.
Oh, blow it.
Yeah, like Drake, I got money to blow.
Well, Biggie, I just got something to say. But I know you lost $10,000, $14,000, but you came in... You came out of the fight with three gorgeous women. Can you explain the three girls and their names and their nicknames? I know you named them Dumpling, Lamb, and Sushi.
Ooh.
All I gotta say is that they were very attractive. I mean, they were all tans in my opinion. And honestly, we had a great night at the end.
And they literally taste like lamb, sushi, and dumpling. That's why you named them that.
Yeah, literally. It did taste like that. I mean... I wouldn't mind doing it again.
Well,
maybe with some lumpia wrap.
And Biggie, this next question This next question was actually wrote, composed by DJ Piab. He's a little nervous to ask it because it's a very personal question. I'm going to direct it at Biggie first. Biggie?
Yeah,
what's when up? You entered Vegas, literally entered it, penetrated it deeply, were you received warmly?
Yeah, I was actually. I was received very warmly by some hookers and a little bit of cocaine and some lamb
sushi.
You can't
legally say that you got that.
So,
I mean, not legally got cocaine. I mean, I know a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy.
If you're 45, that still doesn't mean you could legally own cocaine. That's an illegal substance.
It was actually a
controlled substance.
Baked, baking powder.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
So you were received warmly, were you not?
Oh, very warmly. I didn't want to leave after that.
Man, you were sweating after, huh?
All I gotta say, it was a great session. I had a good workout. Piab knows what I mean.
And when I mean working out, I mean AA right here. AA, we did boxing our freshman year of high school.
Yeah. And that was years, decades ago.
And you trained so well that you actually fought in an undercard fight. That's
I actually
why you went to
did,
the
yeah.
And you knocked the guy out in the first round.
It was free on TV also. We didn't have to pay for it, but yeah. And one time you told me that you have a great masseuse in Vegas, right? Biggie?
Biggie Ben?
You still awake?
What? Sorry.
Okay.
All right, we're going to cut Biggie off there.
All right.
Not with us. My next question, directed to AA, are you aroused at the moment?
Technically.
Oh, geez. Wait, that's.
Ooh, oh, wow.
That's from my.
I was about to answer that.
That's from my personal file.
Oh, yes.
Answer it if you choose.
Oh, man. So many news reporters, they just catch you off guard like that with so many questions, but eventually.
So it's
one day it just slips and it just comes out. Maybe I am. I mean, it's an illusion in my pants if you're seeing what you're seeing, but that's what you get.
It's the pleat of the pants.
It is, yes.
I think Biggie's indicating that you are aroused. Biggie, same question to you. What's going on right now with you? This is an email I got. Someone wants to know if you're aroused. Right. His name
sexually,
is Sammy Boy.
Sexually, I am aroused right now.
You're in a room full of men.
It's blatantly explicit.
Hey, I was thinking about certain girls, all right?
Go on, Biggie. Save yourself. Redeem yourself.
All I gotta say is that there are a lot of pretty girls in the school, so I mean, that's right.
So it's a
going, yes?
Do you want my opinion if I'm aroused or not, T?
No.
Go ahead. This is getting weird. Go ahead.
Honestly, I'm pretty aroused.
Because Biggie's here.
No, why?
Biggie, coming in hot there, buddy.
Listen, Biggie.
Let's take a few plays off.
You're hurting my ears, but I'll let it slide this time. But I went to a singing audition, and geez, man, there were a lot of pretty females in that audition.
Hey.
Jeez.
And that's all, Biggie. We're going to end the interview almost here. We got a couple more questions. Next question. Favorite seafood, each of you guys. Biggie, favorite seafood.
All I gotta say is that
quick,
sushi.
Make it quick.
It's really good. It's one of a kind.
AA, favorite Mexican dish. You have 3 seconds to answer.
Favorite Mexican dish is going to have to be, hands down, the chicken cordon bleu.
That's a great pick.
That's actually Italian.
Yeah,
Italian?
What's your favorite kind of food?
Okay, well, I like arroz con pollo, that's la como mañana, and for Filipino food, I like
Slurpee.
I love fried chicken silog, and my favorite drink, tequila Slurpee.
Can I say one thing?
Say it.
I went to the hash house in Vegas.
Wow.
It's at the Imperial Palace. They have the best chicken and waffles you can have in your life. Oh, my God. It was stacked like 2 feet in the air. It was just waffle,
that's
chicken, waffle.
Remarkable.
It was amazing, and it tasted bomb.
Biggie, you want to jump in here?
Yeah. All I gotta say is that in Vegas, the best meal I ever had was the buffet at the Rio.
Nice.
That's all I gotta say.
Honestly, I highly agree with that. But T-Baby, we want to know your favorite food, buddy.
My favorite food, I would have to say, is a big old Nation's cheeseburger.
Ooh.
That's great.
Ah,
mayonnaise, tomatoes, lettuce. Don't bother me. I'm eating Nation's.
This is where I catch T-Baby lying. On Mr. Ping, when he announced his favorite food is
white chocolate and bean dip.
What?
Yep. I remember that.
Biggie, shut your mouth. That was for publicity purposes only, trying to please the fans. Real favorite food, cheeseburgers, and you know that.
I do know that.
And one more question before we get off here. Get off, because Biggie's aroused. He's got to get off.
I'm not going to lie. I am.
He needs a tissue.
And P-Ab's good. We're going to be serious here, because P-Ab's a boxing fan. I'm actually going to start with P-Ab.
Okay.
Pacquiao. That's his name. Versus Marquez. Who won the fight and why? I know you're a Pacquiao fan. You watched the fight. Who won and why?
Honestly, I'm a big boxing fan. I watched the fight. In all honesty, Manny Pacquiao won the fight. Very close, though.
Okay, close.
Very close.
And I know the first judge, it was a split decision. You agree with the other judges?
I don't agree 116, 112. I agree 115, 113.
Okay. Double A, I think you have different thoughts.
I heard that. Okay, so I haven't actually watched the fight, but from what I've heard in the media, that it was really a draw. It should have been a draw.
Yeah, it should have been a draw, but if you're looking at aggression, Manny Pacquiao won all the way.
That's actually a biased opinion. You're a diehard Pacquiao fan.
I'm not a diehard Pacquiao fan.
Yes, you are.
I'm a diehard Mayweather.
I'll say this.
Mayorga fan?
In Piab's defense, he is a diehard Pacquiao fan.
I am. That's why I'm always going to choose
that. But he knows boxing, so I agree with him. But from the articles I've read, I'm kind of with Double A. I've seen a lot of articles indicating it was a draw and it was controversial that Pacquiao won. All three fights, somewhat controversial. Biggie, what do you think? Who won? You were there, Biggie. I mean, come on.
I was there, but I mean, I wasn't there. But Marquez, I got to go with Marquez.
Really?
Yeah, I think Marquez won. I mean, it was a close fight. But at the end, they decided to give it to Pacquiao. They said it was bribed.
Who said that?
Judges were bribed. I mean, okay. That's what I heard.
Yeah, that's what I heard, too.
Yeah, how do you respond?
Look, I know boxing, guys, and I'll tell you this. This fight was the closest fight they had all three. And if it could have went either way. You could choose Marquez. I wouldn't be mad about that.
You could choose Marquez. It's fair.
It's just a matter of opinion. My personal opinion, I thought Pacquiao won because of aggression. Some people would say Marquez won because he was a great counterpuncher. I wouldn't be mad about either way, but in my opinion, Pacquiao won.
And while we're on it, Piab, just real quick. Pacquiao Mayweather, do you think it still has a chance? Will it ever happen?
In my opinion, no, it won't happen.
No.
It should. It should.
You think so?
It should have happened. It should have happened.
I agree with you. I think it should happen, but it won't.
Why not?
They should have sacked up when they first had the chance.
Yes, sack up.
Because promoters will not take that fight. Bob Arum's already complaining. Mayweather sometimes does not want to negotiate. And I'm going to say this real quick. In 2010 is when they should have fought. In 2010, right after the Cotto fight. Okay. That's when they should have fought.
I know. What about this? Double A? I think you think differently. You think the fight should happen anytime soon?
Yeah, of course. Not anytime soon, but it should happen. It should have happened a long time ago off the blood test and the urine test. They didn't want to agree with it. I mean, come on.
I agree. And DJ Juice is a big boxing fan. I think he wants to get on this.
He's a boxing analyst.
Juice, you're on, buddy.
I would just say Mayweather's doing the smart thing. Think about it. He's a boxer. He uses his brain. He's waiting for Pacquiao to start falling a little bit. He hasn't knocked anybody out. He couldn't even knock out Marquez. In the other fights, he was stronger. He was way stronger. He knocked him down 3 times in the first one. On the second one, he knocked him down once. He didn't knock him any time this time. I think it would be easier for him to wait for him now where he's like kind of passing a little bit. I'm just saying he's passing a little bit past his prime just because he's not been able to hit anybody as cleanly. I think throughout the fight, though, you could have gone either way, but I just think Marquez, the way you stop aggression is by countering. And Mayweather's a way better counterpuncher than Marquez, a lot quicker. And I think he's just going to take it to him. The one fight I would want to see, though, just as a chess match, would be Martinez and Mayweather.
In my opinion, I think the best fight would be, I believe, Miguel Cotto and Mayweather. Miguel Cotto is a good aggressor, and he's a good counterpuncher as well. I think,
but he gets hit too many times.
He does,
and he cuts easily.
But Mayweather's not a good aggressor.
Mayweather...
He was good in his prime as an aggressor, but not now.
Now he just pot shots you. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. With Martinez, it'd be a good one because it'd be different styles. They're almost the same, and they're very elusive. So
hey, you know what? Maybe DJ Juice, DJ Piab are going to fight sometime soon.
We've worked mitts before, right?
Yeah, we worked the mitts a couple times.
I don't know how hard he hits because he hasn't been able to put on some gloves and lace them up. But I
will one time.
He's a stamina guy, I think.
I am.
Yeah. Juice power puncher, from what I've heard.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess.
And the quickness. And they might fight. Maybe it'll be Mayweather Pacquiao. Main event will be Juice. But yeah, we don't know.
Maybe.
Time will tell.
So, I mean, that's just my opinion. I want Mayweather to go against Martinez just because of that. And just because of the weight. Think about it. Mayweather never, ever fights anybody bigger than him.
In my dream fight, how about Victor Ortiz versus Manny Pacquiao? I think that would be a good fight.
They're both very aggressive, both southpaws, but I think Manny right now is just going to give people maybe Marquez. Bob Arum was talking about going a number 4 with Marquez just because it's going to make millions of dollars. They said this pay-per-view fight can go past 1.5 million.
If Pacquiao fights, I just want him to lose. So I can honestly see the look on Piep's face and like 90% of the Dominican campus who loves Pacquiao. He's a great guy. I just want to see him lose.
As a boxer. Like, he's very talented, but he's got no defense. His defense is getting smacked.
No, yeah. His defense sucks.
His defense is horrible. And against Mayweather, Mayweather's really quick, too. Yeah. So he's probably going to pot shot him easily.
And Mayweather has never fought an aggressor like Pacquiao. And And Pacquiao has never fought as good as a counterpuncher as Mayweather.
MPF, you do think, I think you said before, Mayweather would beat Pacquiao.
Mayweather will eat Pacquiao.
And you're a Pacquiao
alive.
Fan.
Yeah. That's just based off style.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Well, that's a great debate. It's an endless one. We're going to take a quick break, but we're going to continue with some great topics when we get back. You are listening to What Are You Talking About? Only available via radio.dominican.ed. We'll be back in a few minutes. T-Baby and P-Hub. And Double A, and Juice, and Biggie.
Something about the way she moved, I can't figure it out. It's something about her. Said, ooh, it's something about kind of woman that wants you but don't need you. Hey, I can't figure it out. It's something about her. 'Cause she walk like a boss, talk like a boss, manicure and nails to set the pedicure off. She's fly effortlessly. She move like a boss, do what a boss do. She got me thinking about getting involved. That's the kind of girl I need. She got her own thing, that's why I love her. Miss Independent, won't you come and spend a little time? She got her own thing, that's why I love her. Something about kind of woman that can do for herself. I look at her and it makes me proud. There's something about her. It's something oh so sexy about kind of woman that don't even need my help. She says she got it, no doubt. There's something about her. 'Cause she work like a boss, play like a boss. Car and a crib, she about to pay them both off. Everything to say, don't worry, I got it. And everything she got, best believe she bought it. She gon' steal my heart, ain't no doubt about it. Girl, you're everything I need. Said you're everything I need.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is another episode of What Are You Talking About? Only available via radio.dominican.edu. My name is DJ T-Baby. I'm with my boy DJ P-Ab. P-Ab, it has two pronunciations.
It does.
And we're happy to be back as a duo again. Just had a great segment with Biggie Ben Como, Double A, even Juice contributing. But P-Ab, why don't you tell them what we're going to talk about next?
Stanford versus Oregon. I was very disappointed. Very disappointed.
Because you're a Stanford fan.
I'm a big Stanford fan. Always liked him ever since Casey Jacobson played for the Stanford Cardinals.
Yeah, and he was a great basketball player.
He was great.
Great shooter, but we're going to stick with football here. And it was a great game for Oregon, not for Stanford. I mean, the score made it look like it was a little closer than it was, but Oregon dominated the whole game. Going into the game, what were your thoughts? Do you think Stanford stood a chance? Did you pick Oregon? What were your thoughts?
Going in, I thought Stanford had no chance. I'm being serious.
Yeah.
Honestly, Andrew looks a great quarterback, But I don't think they could compete with these BCS type teams. And Oregon was great. They were in the BCS title last year.
I picked Oregon beforehand.
Me too.
I mean, you never want to say a team doesn't have a shot, but Oregon is, they're considerably better than Stanford.
And what a lot of announcers said about Stanford is that they have the best offensive line in all of college football.
Yeah, two first-round picks on
there. That's very bad.
It is.
Oregon has a way better offensive line than Stanford.
Yeah, and I know before the game, Stanford tried to water down the field to slow Oregon down. You saw Cardinal players flipping and flopping and slipping and sliding. It totally backfired. Throw out some numbers. RPA, you got some?
No, and also, if Stanford almost loses to USC...
Yeah.
How do they have a chance against Oregon?
Yeah, and I'm going to throw out some numbers. Like Michael James, the great running back, 146 yards, 3 touchdowns. Darren Thomas, quarterback, I don't really like that much, but also kind of a game manager. Not really all that talented, to be honest, but manager. 11-17 for 3 touchdowns, can't do much more. Luck throws for 271 yards,
bad.
271.
Bad for
3
him.
Touchdowns, 2 picks, but 41 passes. You don't want to make him a volume passer.
No.
That's like equivalent to a Baron Davis shooting game back on the Warriors. You don't want him to throw 41 passes.
No.
Because as great as Luck is, probably the first pick overall, Stanford is a running team.
And the thing is, Stanford doesn't never had an elite running back. And that's what Luck needs.
And even Stanford against Oregon, Stephon Taylor, 99 yards, 23 carries, solid game. But Oregon's offense is too much to handle. LSU is the only team who really, really shut Oregon down. And LSU is, the best team in the nation, probably going to win the national championship.
Also, but I really wanted Stanford to win all their games.
Yeah.
You're a Cal fan, but I'm a Stanford fan. That's always going to happen. But I just got something to say to you. Stanford will beat Cal in a heartbeat.
They will. And that speaks volumes because I'm a big Cal football fan. A few years ago when Kevin Riley was at the helm as quarterback, Cal was up to number 2, ranked number 2. I was at this game playing Oregon State. If LSU had lost, the number 1 team, if Cal had won, they would have been number 1 in the nation. They lost. They went on to lose. I don't know if they lost all their games. They lost like 5 in a row. They made like an average bowl game. And you're a Stanford fan. I know your dad's a big Stanford fan.
Yeah.
When you're on the cusp of greatness, as Stanford was, because if Stanford went out, they could have made the national title.
They could have.
They lost to Oregon. They're done now. They're decimated now in the BCS. They have no – they maybe a distant shot at a Rose Bowl. But that's probably going to go to Oregon because Oregon probably won't go to the national title. They'll get the Rose Bowl. Stanford won't make a BCS. It's a huge loss.
This is probably the biggest loss of their whole college season.
Yeah.
It was the biggest game, and they played on primetime, which it should have been.
It was. It was a great game, 53-30. How much more can you
I ask? Wouldn't say great game because Stanford's defense, and I'm going to say this, Stanford's defense was always bad.
Yeah, it's very soft.
No, and they have no pass rush.
Yeah, Stanford has a weak. I mean, honestly, as academic of a school is, I'm always surprised to see Stanford how they're so good at athletics. I'm always shocked.
Too.
I mean, a few years ago, they were terrible at football. But to see them as like a top 5, now I guess dropped to top 10 team, it's still remarkable what they can do.
And also, I was upset at Stanford. I'm going to go off topic here. Jeremy Lin had a chance to play at Stanford, but ended up playing at Harvard. Stanford should have just signed the kid.
Yeah, Stanford, definitely a tough loss. But it's good to see Oregon win because
it is. I'm an Oregon fan.
Yeah, Oregon. I mean, if it's hard not to like Oregon
it is.
With that offense they have.
How do you like that, Duck fans? Boo! All I gotta
it's hard to imagine. I'm just looking at the rankings right now. LSU number 1, Oklahoma State number 2, Alabama 3, Oregon 4. I think we maybe both might agree LSU best team. You think LSU best team in the nation?
LSU's got to be the best team in the nation, but. And in all honesty, USC 17. Wow.
Yeah, they're creeping up a bit.
And Stanford 16. That's amazing.
Yeah, Stanford's really dropping.
I'm gonna tell you this though. Stanford could beat Clemson.
Not sure they're playing. I think Stanford's still eighth, still ranked eighth in the AP top 25.
But they could beat Clemson.
Yeah, not Clemson's gonna play. 13.
They're not gonna play, but they could beat Clemson.
But I remember. Yeah, it's totally irrelevant. But they could beat Clemson. I remember first game of the season, LSU Oregon. It's almost a national championship, that game. Because when I watched it, I was watching it with my parents. I remember telling my dad, LSU is going to beat Oregon. Oregon's going to win out. They're going to win the rest of their games, and they're going to make the Rose Bowl. That's probably what's going to happen. They're not going to be – this is the biggest problem in the BCS. And one of my favorite journalists and sports writers, Dan Wetzel, wrote a book on how messed up the BCS is. It really is, because LSU, Oregon, it's a huge game. But if you lose, you don't have much of a chance to make the title.
No, you don't.
It's a flawed system.
It is.
What I think, I don't know if it's totally plausible or feasible, take the top 8 BCS, have a little playoff. One plays eight, two plays seven, three plays six, four plays five. Just a little mini playoff. I'm sure you make more money. Teams won't mind. Why not?
That's what Obama always said. How about a playoff?
Yeah, in college basketball, you could have, say, a Duke play a North Carolina early in the season. Duke wins. You know, both teams. You could say both teams top five. This is just hypothetical. I don't know what the rankings are this year, but they're always elite teams. But if you lose, you still have a great chance to be a one seed. You could meet that team in the Elite Eight in the championship. In college football, when you lose this one game, your season could be crumbled.
And that's what happened to Stanford right there.
Exactly.
I think they got to have a tournament just like that for college basketball.
Yeah. And, I mean, it goes both ways. It means you have to show up. In college basketball, I know Vanderbilt just lost to Cleveland State. Vanderbilt, top 10 team, lost to unranked Cleveland State. They could still go on and be like a 2-3-4 seed. You don't always have to be as prepared. In college football, it goes both ways. You have to always be prepared. But at the same time, it doesn't seem fair that these teams lose and then they have no shot at a BCS.
Yeah.
But I do like seeing Boise State lose. I was happy to see that because Boise State...
I don't know. I'm a big Boise State fan. I know. I don't want to say fan, but I always root for
them. I root for them. Like, always. Years ago when they upset Oklahoma, I was rooting hard.
They need a kicker. What's going on in Boise State?
I'm just... The only reason I'm happy to see them lose is they're always undefeated and they don't get their title shot. And they complain. And I feel for them because if you're undefeated, you shouldn't finish the year on a win unless you're the national champion. That's why I hate all these bowl games. Only one team should finish the year with a win. But I like seeing Boise State lose because now at least they're out of the picture. They can't say at the end of the season, we're undefeated. They play crap teams, you know. And then once they're tested remotely, they lose. So I'm kind of happy to see Boise State fall off.
I'm not. I always root for Boise State. But this loss is the biggest loss of their all time in college.
It's huge college for football. Them. It's huge. And, yeah, that's a great discussion on college football. BCS probably won't change. But I think, P.E.B., you got something for the audience before we're tailgates in 6 minutes. We got a little more to talk about.
Yeah, well, ladies and gentlemen, you want to know why I left T? Did you explain why I left?
I gave them a little bit of a background, but you can give a more detailed one.
Well, actually, trying out for a Filipino cultural night. It's called PCN. It's going to be held on April 15th. I tried out for a singing audition.
Did you?
Too. Yeah.
Oh, I knew that.
But the fans didn't know. If they want a sneak peek, I could give them the first two lines.
Yeah, spit something at them.
Well, this is called "Someone Like You" by Adele. If they want to hear it, they can. It goes like, I say it like this. I say it like,
you know.
I heard that you settled down, that you found a man, and you married now. I heard that your dreams came true. I guess he gave you things I didn't give to you. And I'm saying, oh friend, why are you so shy? Ain't like you to hold back or hide from the light. I hate to turn up out of the blue so uninvited, but I couldn't stay away. I couldn't fight it. I'd hope you see my face and that you'd be reminding that for me, it isn't over. Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I wish nothing but the best for you too. Don't forget me, I'll beg. I remember that you said that sometimes it lasts in love, but sometimes it hurts instead. That sometimes it lasts in love, but sometimes it hurts instead. That's what I performed.
It sounds great.
Does it really?
It's soulful. It's R&B-ish. Thanks, R&B-ish. Man. And Adele, great singer, but the way you did it, it's kind of a, you mix it up a little.
I twisted into an R&B version.
And that's the sign of a true artist. You mix it up.
And also, I got to give a shout out to my boy T-Baby. He's got a big performance tomorrow, man. Soul Candy. This guy's literally legit. If you don't think so, then get out because this guy has the best, I'll say this, best lyrics I heard in my life. Best rhyme scheme
I've
heard
you,
in my life.
I appreciate it. And just for some more
detail. It's true, T.
Yep. Angelica Hall, 7 to 9. It's not just me. You got Michael Meekins, a rapper. You got Noel Roldan, a DJ here at Dominican. She's performing. A lot of good artists are going to be performing. Go to Soul Candy tomorrow at Angelica. P.E.B., you sound great. It's soulful. It's got some Usher in it. It's got some Adele. It's got some Biebs. It's got a lot going.
Biebs, huh?
We're going to get out. 3 minutes till the tailgate. Stay tuned for that. This is DJ T-Baby, DJ P.E.B. What are you talking about? Radio.Dominican.edu. We will see you next week. Be easy till then.